Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, January 3rd, 2017. And this says, Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is a rainy 40 degrees and very dark and dank here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off on Thursday, I believe? Hope everyone had a happy New Year's weekend. It was a long weekend with New Year's falling on a Sunday, so it was pretty enjoyable. So where do we leave off on Thursday? We titled the show Brain Neuroplasticity, Dopamine Seeking Truth, and Reconditioning. And we have been looking at the brain for at least last week, maybe two, and this whole brain initiative, the new 21st Century Cures Act with some of the neurological surveillance sections that were passed into law to be able to track, bag, and tag, all in the name of keeping our loved ones with mental health disorders safe. We found out long, long, long time ago about Tommy Insel, former director of the National Institute of Mental Health, going over to Google's Verily. They are working on smartphone applications that'll be utilized to diagnose mental disease as opposed to the old school ways of using the DSM, that manual that gives you bullet point line items to be able to quantify and identify mental illness in patients. Well, now don't worry about it, because it's all going to go 21st century. They'll be able to radically change our healthcare with Dr. Smartphone, and not just in the name of mental health, but of course, we've read all about biosensors and being able to take quick samples and take snapshots of your rashes and send them to the AI Dr. Watson for diagnoses. You know, eventually they're going to have those living therapeutics, and that's really moving along. Some of this custom synthetic, whether it be gut bacteria or little DNA computers that they've programmed, put inside of us as smart pills or something along those lines, to be able to not only monitor, make sure we are operating within parameters, but also treat and create, quote unquote, medications inside of us. In this case, it might be some sort of chemical, or start some sort of chain reaction, or add some sort of protein that would be able to tamp down an inflammation in many of the cases. I just saw some stuff. They now have gotten to the point where CRISPR has just been made easier. We've read about CRISPR as well. And, you know, what's so significant about all these technologies is that this is what we are faced with now, coming up in 2017. And when we look back just over the last year, you remember last New Year's, probably one of the very first shows in 2016, I told you that the word of the year was going to be the algorithm. We just started discussing whether or not it was ethical for self-driving cars to be making decisions about whether or not the driver lives or dies based upon if there are crowds on a sidewalk and a brick wall as a choice to crash the car with impending accident. You know, I just saw this morning, I might be logged into a different account here than I am upstairs, but there was a headline. I hit news.google.com to see what verified news was being dribbled out to me this morning, and the top story upstairs, doesn't look like downstairs, happened to be that Republicans were pushing now to, I don't know if they were getting rid of it or if they were slackening some of the rules, but it was for some ethics commission in Washington. And I thought to myself, you know, ethics in Washington in the same sentence is kind of a, quite an oxymoron. But, you know, how frightening is this? Is they're pushing all these new laws. They're railroading them out of the books as we have Obama getting ready to skip town. Actually, I don't think he's skipping town. I think he is, he's staying in Washington. Going to start himself an anti-fake news media company, was the rumor. Figures. But, you know, getting rid of an ethics committee and Congress being the ones that can vote on that, we had discovered back a few weeks ago, we found a bombshell talking about investments, congressional members in all this biotech, 21st century cures. We found out that it isn't necessarily, wink, illegal to insider trade. If you're a member of Congress, we have more than half of congressmen who are now billionaires. This 21st Century Cures Act was a full out-and-out giveaway to Big Pharma and biotech. Getting that pesky FDA that never really did their due diligence to begin with out of the way. So it is all balls out. American people is guinea pigs. Profit like you have never seen. Stock analysts and fortune-telling gurus are all rubbing their hands together saying in the next 4 years this technology is taking off so quickly it is going to be exponential returns monetarily. Found out from Kurzweil, and we're looking at in just the next 10 years like 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 years of technology increases, which is really hard to fathom. But we've been discovering they've been using nature to crack all the secrets of what makes us tick, declaring themselves this technocratic, scientific, invasive society that is falling upon us. Has declared themselves literal gods. They can create life. They can end life. They can splice and dice life. They want to be able to eventually push that big red button. Bloop. Do some drop downs. Pick some traits. Push a button. 3D print some cells. Create a new life form. 3D laser print some DNA. And create a new life form. To do whatever you need it to do. We now have DARPA working on digital rights management for our genomes. We have this 21st Century Cures Act that we've talked about so many times. I had mentioned the other day that I must have done at least 10 shows on it. Well, I counted, and there's way more than 10. I don't even remember. Go hit the, by the way, anyone wants a chuckle? We got a message a couple days back, someone... Oh, and I'm so sorry, too. I actually, this with the holidays, I have not had time, guys. I'm so behind. Now I'm going to start shoveling. As I don't look forward to the new year because it means I got to start shoveling. And there's piles everywhere. But I will, I promise. There was a comment a couple days ago. Someone had just found the show. And thank you very much. And by the way, thank you to everybody. We had some really nice donations over Christmas. So I want to thank everyone who has helped the show financially. Guys, I don't ask for anything, ever, really. And I pay for all this out of my pocket and the donations that we get. We don't really, I mean, I got a couple ads on the website and stuff, but I hate to tell you, they've scaled back on all that, and they mark things as, you know, it has any link to anything, even a word and a title on a page with an ad, and they just get rid of all, you know, the 22 cents that you might have made in a month on that page. And they just erase that stuff because they didn't like something. It wasn't advertiser friendly. They do the same thing with YouTube. So don't think there's a bazillion dollars to be made. If anybody gets into alternative media, you know, like their fake news mantra, they've been spinning that out there. I just saw some other crazy thing, and this time in Scientific American, talking about how the fake news has invaded science as well, talking about chemtrails and vaccines. Of course they did. Don't get off the mark here, Jewel. This whole fake news mantra, they are utilizing this to now say it's all these unscrupulous characters in countries such as Hungary and in Russia. Those Russian hackers under every bed and in every closet that are stealing Nana's life savings on the internet. Right? That's how they first started this. Remember Microsoft Cyber Patrol Center? It was one of the things they said in there. It's all about protecting Nana. Well, so is the neurological monitoring, as mentioned in the 21st Century Cures Act. Poor Nana wandering away. We'll make sure we'll be able to track her, bag and tag her 24 hours a day and see her on a map real time. But, guys, they literally, now 2017 is the year, we got all the balls, every single one of them, and some dominoes all around the edge of that pool table. Totally lined up, so all it's going to take is one cue ball. And it's going to be like one of those late night Vegas pool tournaments on pay television. Bing, 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 bing. And they're all going to go into the hole. Guys, they've just lined us up. This is going to be the biggest money-making tech session the world has ever seen. This is just before the big cash out that will come at the end of this administration as we are migrated over to universal basic income. So they're not going to have to actually crash the economy. What they're going to have to do is transform the economy and get us used to being able to depend upon our devices, our smartphones, those ubiquitous connectivity devices that they've addicted us to, pushing that chemical button called dopamine. And really, you know, we've tied a lot of things back to dopamine, a lot of ways to manipulate and control people, that dangling poison carrot, the really disturbing joke at the end of the rainbow. It's not a pot of gold, it's a GMO poison carrot. And they're laughing at you when you get to the end because you've just sold your whole existence, your life, your labors, your thought processes, following that dangling carrot that Edward Bernays crafted as a plan back in the beginning of the 20th century, rolling out American consumerism. Keeping up with the Joneses, they've been able to prop this economy up for long enough that they've gotten the majority of the American public addicted. But while they were busy being sucked into their devices that they can't even walk down a street or have a conversation with their friends without being disturbed 22 times and having to look at their phone, junkie, like a flashing light. And it's just so disturbing to me. And I mean, if we go back even, how many years ago were we talking? 3-4 years ago, it was all about reality television. Like our devices hadn't really gotten to that terminal point yet. We're now there moving into the next level. We've become so comfortable with having our devices near us and on 24/7, giving it all up to the machine, losing our respect for privacy or quiet time, because we're always connected, always, always. I mean, there were those of us way back when that kind of rode that original wave into being connected. We lived through the development of technology from zero to, you know, whatever it is now, 10,972 on a spectrum. I mean, we're about ready to go for that million times what we were in the beginning, in the 1970s, let's say. first personal computers in 1982. There were those of us who rode that original wave to where we are now. And I've seen a distinct difference between us who came before and lived the growth and those who came after and were born with the technology. I've been reading some studies. Of course, we have Brain Project. This Brain Initiative, as declared by the White House, is one of our big pushes here in the nation. It's going to be big, like the Genome Project, like the DNA sequencing. And now we're CRISPRing and cracking the genetic code. We've discovered that there's a couple different things going on in the body. Not only do we have genetic code, but we have all these bacterial colonies. I think we discovered when we dug into gut bacteria and bodily bacteria, there were 7 different colonies that lived on the body in different areas, warm, moist places, that all work together, sometimes in a symbiosis. Sometimes they had little wars, but they all worked together to maintain our systems. And now they've really been digging into how gut bacteria directly influences our brain, and it happens to be chemical. Having an interaction through this vagus nerve, that's a direct connect. I just saw now GlaxoSmithKline and a bunch of others, including DARPA, their ElectRx program, have all been investing and testing these new electrical medicines that utilize things like the vagus nerve to stimulate, as well as the brain transcranial stimulation, to be able to nudge the body into performing reactions that they are looking for. So without medication, this is with frequency and sound and electricity. They're discovering that our bodies are much more than we ever thought. They are getting this manipulation of biological systems down to a science. And those scientists have now been given, right at the very end of 2016, while everyone was reveling in the holidays and being a part of that consumeristic society that this year started even before Black Friday. It was the week before Black Friday, I remember. That was new. To start advertising and selling for Christmas. So they can ink these bills, like that Propaganda Act, NDAA 2017 got inked as well. I'm sure a bunch of other things that we even missed. I don't know why I still haven't caught up. But it's frightening. As to the platter they are now handing Trump. Trump, who upon his selection to be the next heir to the throne, is this plate of money-making technologies that don't really have any protections or stops. They could tell you that all they want, but they don't. They are just now starting to tinker with, like, how to come up with a kill switch for if killer AI gets out of control. They are now just starting to think about how to prevent out-of-control rogue CRISPR edits from spreading through a population. Yet, they democratized CRISPR by sending it all across the planet, even though then it was declared a WMD to the Senate Intelligence Committee by Clapper. I mean, it's a very precarious position that we have been put in. And now we have, you know, the whole climate change mantra as well in the background. All these lefty greenies saying that the planet can't support us anymore. Going to have to reduce the carbon quotient. Going to have to take control and monitor everything, including co-farts. eliminate beef. You know, I don't know what's even going on with that, but I just saw not too long ago that some of those new stem cell beef patties, they were like, oh, I don't know, some insane amount of money when they first came out, maybe $100,000 a burger. But they had created little beef stem cells in a petri dish. And I don't know if they put them on little actuators or whatever, but then they exercised those little beef muscle stem cells. So they literally could build them up in a petri dish and made like strings of beef muscle cells, 3D printed, that they could then cook up, shape into a patty, and serve. But all in the name of getting rid of methane. Because cows, you know, cows are the reason why we have climate change. But it's disturbing because one of the things the UN has been spinning for a very long time is how the cure to our inability to feed the masses should be something ecologically sustainable protein such as insects. Look at these crickets, look at these cockroaches, or these hoo-ha bugs. Yum, yum, yum. Mealy worm farms for your kitchen. As we live in our Buck Rogers 172-story sterile state-controlled section bee housing in our new Agenda 2021 world. Well, no thank you. That isn't where I want to go. They are cracking down even on our freedoms with self-driving cars. I saw a story over the weekend about how children born today will probably never, ever drive. Now think about that for a moment. They will never drive. 16 years from now is what they're saying, in essence. 16 years from now, we will not have human-controlled vehicles. And like I've said many times, it's all going to be about putting it into your, right now, smart device, soon-to-be wearables. Wearables are coming, 2017, Intel Atom processor. And then to be implantables, I ran across, and I don't know, I'm having all kinds of trouble finding tabs here, but I ran across a story yesterday, might have been last night, about this new Wi-Fi connectivity. Now, we've read about Wi-Fi over the last few weeks. There's a new way for them to determine your emotions just by bouncing Wi-Fi signals off of you. We read about an experiment out of Stanford, I believe, a while back, where they were using Wi-Fi to be able to see through your walls. Now we have this new technology called interscatter communication. Interscatter communication enables first ever implanted devices, smart contact lenses, ding-a-ling-a-ling, that was Google's Verily, smart credit cards that can all, quote-unquote, talk Wi-Fi. University of Washington researchers have introduced a new way of communicating that allows such devices as, oh, you know, those soon to come under the 21st century cures, brain implants. Yeah, it does say brain implants. This is out of University of Washington too, guys. They have new ways of communicating that allow devices such as brain implants, contact lenses, credit cards, and other smaller wearable electronics to talk to everyday devices such as, oh, Dr. Smartphone and your smart watches. There you go. There's that transition from your smart devices to your smart devices on your body, your wearables, pocket to your arm, and then to your brain implants. This new interscatter communication works by converting Bluetooth signals into Wi-Fi transmissions over the air and using only reflections, an interscatter device, which it's interesting because I thought that was the same sort of technology that they were using for the emotions and for reading through the walls, interscattering the, you know, and the reflections that bounce. The interscatter device, such as a smart contact lens, converts Bluetooth signals from a smartwatch, for example, into Wi-Fi transmissions that then can be picked up by your smartphone. This new technique is described in a paper to be presented, and it was presented August 22nd at the annual conference of the Association for Computing Machinery Special Interest Group on data communication in Brazil. Wireless connectivity for implanted devices can transform how we manage chronic diseases. Oh, yes, 21st century cures. This would be the invasive. Maybe it would be a little tattoo thingy to begin with. Non-invasive ways to monitor. Remember, everything in a dashboard, whether it be your physical or your mental health. We've been working on that now for quite a while. For example, a contact lens could monitor a diabetic sugar level in tears and then send notifications to the phone when that blood sugar level goes down. And due to their size and location within the body, these smart contact lenses are too constrained by power demands to send data using conventional wireless transmissions, which means that they so far have not been able to send data using Wi-Fi to smartphones and other mobile devices. But those same requirements also limit emerging technologies such as brain implants to treat that pesky Parkinson's, which is, of course, the way to cure Parkinson's, push that dopamine button, as well as stimulate organs. And it may even one day reanimate limbs. Did you guys ever see Reanimator? H.P. Lovecraft. I read that book years ago. And then they made a really horrible movie, a B movie. But it was good. It was good in a cheesy sort of way. Anyway, the team of University of Washington electrical engineers and computer scientists have demonstrated for the very first time that these types of power-limited devices can, quote-unquote, talk to others by just using standard Wi-Fi communication. Their systems require no specialized equipment at all, relying solely on mobile devices commonly found with the users. So, you know, your smartphone or your Wi-Fi router in your house. Their system requires no specialized equipment, relying solely on mobile devices found with users to generate Wi-Fi signals using 10,000 times less energy than the conventional methods. Well, good on you, kids. Those 18-year-olds just sold humanity down another step to the pits of hell. I mean, is this even believable that this is where we are? So we're going to have 24/7 connected brain implants to be able to feed real-time dashboard information to Dr. Smartphone, be able to monitor you 24/7, make sure you are operating within parameters, and if not, dispatch the Nanobot hounds with the algorithm, the health algorithm. Which health algorithm do you want to buy today? Just like a life insurance or a health insurance policy. Maybe that'll be the replacement to Obamacare once everybody's got now 21st care, whatever the hell they're going to call it. This next generation, they're all getting ready to rip Obamacare to shreds because, you know, cost increases have now become prohibitive. Everybody's crying the blues. But hey, 21 care, and that'll be my new coin term. 21 care under Trump is going to be a biotech orgy. Anything goes. FDA out of the way. American public as the guinea pigs. If you want it, you can buy it. And we'll make it, instead of tiered drugs, we're going to make it tiered treatments. then you can subscribe to what level of experimental care in your moment of desperation you're going to be able to get. You know, you don't need to get the nanobots. The non-nanobot treatment might be a Fitbit that is tracked against others to tell whether or not you are healthy, with maybe a red alert within 6 months of a detection of a cancer, so then you can determine which add-on, you know, since you didn't buy that originally, which Mad Science cancer treatment add-on you're going to spend your life savings on to become a part of history, to become a case study, to be forever immortalized. If you help these large global corporations who are even using taxpayer dollars with a lot of this back-end research that they are then spinning out biotech companies that then are going to tout these new 21st century cures, taxpayer dollars to help fund some of these projects at the universities and the research hospitals, all in the name of furthering medicine to allow us to all live forever. Of course, it's not going to be us. We're never going to live forever. If we are, it's going to be uploaded into the cloud like Kurzweil wants. So we can download Nana at Christmas time into hers. I was talking about the avatars, but I've seen even crazier stuff. These whole digital recreations. You know, with the sad passing of Carrie Fisher, there's a story that came out right on the heels of that. It's actually in Yahoo News. But at the beginning, I didn't really catch what this title was saying, and then I managed to catch a few lines the other night, and I was like, whoa, what the hell are they saying? And yes, I mean, this is going to be the future, downloading Nana at Christmas time. This whole technology that right now is rolling out in Hollywood, this will be commonplace in our not-too-distant future. This title, Actors... And these are real actors in Hollywood on the big silver screen. Actors who are used to manipulate us and push out agendas. Actors seek posthumous protections after big screen resurrections. Now, of course, what caught my attention was the word resurrections. Got to worry about that now. Got little mini brain balls, brain dead patients, Frankenstein projects. You gotta worry. Resurrections might actually mean resurrections. Well, in this case, we're not talking digital resurrections. We've read a lot about some of these new crazy duplication technologies that will allow them to duplicate an image of you moving in real time based upon skins and images that they found, like we saw that software demonstration where they had used famous people like George Bush and Donald Trump and Putin. I don't know if there was an actor in there too. There might have been. And while the camera was pointed at the back end puppeteer, so that would be the actual body that was making the movements, the facial movements, the body movements, the camera was taking its algorithm for mapping facial and bodily algorithms and then translating that data with a new skin. And that new skin would be whoever you would want it to be, whether it be Putin or Obama or Trump or Nana or Carrie Fisher for that matter. So it looked like it was that other individual digitally that was making those motions and those facial expressions and talking. Well, then we found out that there's a Photoshop for voice that Adobe released. He said it's a little bit rough still as far as vocal inflection, but they're working on it. Law of exponential returns, guys. It's going to move fast. They are already able, with 20 minutes of your voice patterns, to reconstruct any and every statement just about, I mean, obviously, they would have to, once they've studied the way your voice patterns work, they'll be able to mimic that. And then they could just, against a database of words and a database of semantics, and then parameters for your vocal highs and lows and your, I don't know what they would even call it. I'm sure there's a scientific word for it. Just have no idea what it would be, but my certain pattern of my ups, downs, lows, my speech patterns, I mean, they'll be able to get a good enough understanding of that, listening to my voice, if they have enough. I mean, we got hundreds and hundreds of hours of me in particular out there on YouTube. They'd be able to fully reproduce using AI backends my voice and make me say anything. They can cut and paste, recreate words, insert. That's just today. Remember, I always tell you guys, this is just the beginning. Just the beginning. Well, listen to this. So we already know all that stuff's out there. Well, listen, this is why. Now we're talking about big screen resurrections. Tuesday's death. This is last week of Carrie Fisher, who played Princess Leia in Star Wars, set off waves of remembering among fans, but also speculation over her character's return in the yet-to-be-filmed episodes. Of course, we know now Disney purchased Industrial Light and Magic, so I'm sure Disney was shitting its pants, but don't worry about it. It's got all this new technology out there. Filmmakers are tapping advances in digital technology to resurrect characters after a performer dies, most notably in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. I didn't see it, so I don't know, but apparently the film in theaters now features the return of Grand Moff Tarkin. Again, don't know who that is. Originally played by a long-dead actor. The trend is set Hollywood stars in the here and now scrambling to exert control of how their characters and images are going to be portrayed in the hereafter. Now, think about that. We have all this information about ourselves. And with the advent of online video, we now have all this technology that has been capturing our facial recognition, our voice patterns, and all these other biometric traits about us for a very long time. And we know that the surveillance apparatus has been bagging and tagging and databasing a lot of this information for whatever purpose they had planned in the future. Facebook's facial recognition technology is right now on trial, class action lawsuit targeting biometric privacy policies. So what does that tell you? I mean, don't think that Facebook isn't the only one that's been taking your biometric information, databasing it, and utilizing it to, who knows, advertise to you. And we know already there's an Israeli firm that can use facial point analysis to determine, statistically speaking, of course, by your facial traits, what genetic background you might have as your heritage. And then, statistically speaking, of course, how much crime or intelligence or poker playing might be in your background. I mean, it's a very frightening point. that we've reached of them being able to crack these secrets, crack these codes, all using superintelligence. I'm going to tell you, superintelligence is going to be another one of those buzzwords, this one for 2017. Huge investments going into superintelligence right now. Deep learning. Dr. Smartphone. To be able to diagnose you, Dr. Watson. I don't know if I want to read this biometric privacy case right now, but fingerprints, voice prints, retina or iris scans, facial features. They're going after all of it. So back to this portraying in the hereafter. They can literally, in super HD, using technology like ILM and Disney, fully digitally capture and project 3D characters that at this point in time you would probably be very hard pressed to be able to tell whether or not it's real or it's Memorex. We read a story back a while ago that it talked about us crossing that threshold, and that we were very near to that singularity, the inability of our eye to be able to determine whether or not it's real anymore, because it looks so damn real. We're at that point where we don't even have limitations anymore to computing power. That used to always be what held us back. It needed to be bigger, faster, stronger. But with the advent of the cloud and databasing, on-demand computing, resiliency, those limitations are now gone. Everything lives out in the cloud. Everything is on demand. Everything is all about getting that instant gratification. And that's kind of been what's fueled it. It's been that push button of dopamine. This technology has sucked us right in like the Pied Piper. The pits of hell, where we are going to be trapped and enslaved by 21st century technology. And they'll be laughing all the way to the bank as we step right up with the promise of curing, the promise of living forever, that quest for immortality. It's the poison apple, people. You need to see it. It's the poison apple. You know, I talk about this at dinner sometimes, and I probably shouldn't because it's kind of scary, but it's good to get some philosophical discussions going with a 10-year-old. And I was talking about this very story with Carrie Fisher and the potential to bring dead characters back to life for a full 2-hour feature film without being able to tell the difference between reality and fantasy, what is created and what is actual. It's a frightening point. It is what I had always talked about, us getting sucked into reality television. That was where they started it. That was where they started this bleeding of not being able to distinguish between the real and the digital world. They want to suck us right in. And then you won't be able to get out, like Tron. Remember Tron? I was fascinated by Tron when I was a kid. That was a Disney movie as well. If I'm not mistaken, that was probably, I would say it was maybe early 80s, maybe late 70s, like 79, maybe early 80s, 81, I'm thinking. Maybe it was even 82. But that was an early movie. It was all about him getting sucked into the machine he did physically, which we'll be able to at some point in the future. They are literally talking about bringing people back. Now, of course, you're not going to be able to know that you were brought back yet. They haven't been able to figure out how to suck your consciousness out, though at Harvard, not too long ago, we've read this story a few times. Harvard researchers think that they have pinpointed the location of consciousness. Of course, that'll be a nice big fatly funded new 21st century cures brain project. Right? And as they crack all these new secrets, You know, they're doing it all in the name of curing. We got this long list now of ever morphing brain diseases, mental disorders that they are targeting. Big, big, big investments, $6.3 billion for 21st Century Cures and another $611 billion for the NDAA 2017 that funds the Department of Defense, of which DARPA is a part. Of course, DARPA is where a lot of the sprinkle funding for this all comes from. They just got some big fat checks to forward these initiatives. This brain initiative in DARPA's park has all been done in the name of PTSD and prosthetics and dopamine buttons and super soldiers and online communication, swarm learning. But now we can literally recreate digital representations that we can't tell the difference from real. It makes you think maybe we'll have holographic armies at some point in the future. Download to an avatar, like I said. The trend has sent Hollywood actors in the here and now scrambling to exert control over how their characters and images are portrayed in the hereafter. Celebrities are increasingly involved in making plans to protect their intellectual property rights, says Mark Rossler, an attorney and chairman for CMG Worldwide, an agency representing celebrity estates. They understand that their legacy will continue beyond their lifetime. Rossler said that at least 25 of his clients are now engaged in actively negotiating the use of theirs or their loved ones' computer-generated images in movies, television, or commercials. Employment contracts govern how they can be used in particular in a film or commercial, while performers will address broader issues. Some actors or heirs worry that overexposure will tarnish a celebrity's image. And Rossler said some explicitly rule out posthumous depictions involving sex or violence, while others focus on drugs or alcohol. California law already gives heirs control over actors' posthumous profits by requiring their permission for any use of their likeness. And as technology has improved, many living actors are more focused on steering their legacy with stipulations on how their images are used or by forbidding their use. Robin Williams, who died in 2014, banned any use of his image for any commercial means until 2039, which, good on you, Robin. That actually was, I mean, I really liked Robin Williams, and it was very, very sad. That was a big loss, just like David Bowie. I mean, these are, and Carrie Fisher, I mean, these are icons from my childhood. But he banned any use of his image for commercial purposes till 2039. He's also blocked anyone from digitally inserting him into a movie or a TV scene or using him as a hologram, as was done with Tupac Shakur at the 2012 Coachella MOOC Festival. MOOC Coachella Music Festival in 2012, 16 years after his murder. So, you know, in Rogue One, though, that star, Peter Cushing, who they brought back to life, died in 1994. And they were able to recreate his likeness enough for it to be convincing in a movie in 2016. And this is horrifying. So where is this technology going to move to here over the next few years? You know, as they are scanning us, we've read all about these new fMRIs. They can detect all of these brain patterns going on. They're finding out where a lot of our different processing happens in the brain, especially emotions. They're identifying where quote-unquote mental illness resides. They're utilizing our voice patterns to be able to diagnose brain illnesses and deficiencies. And then they are tinkering with the technologies whether it be electrical zippity zaps or little skull caps or laser beams. I don't know. I mean, it could be anything. You know, they're working now. Department of Defense is putting a lot of investment into energy weapons. You know, one thing that I was seeing over and over again in some of these stories were how they don't have to pay for ammo anymore. It's just directed energy. But a lot of these are also non-lethal if you don't turn it on high. It's kind of like the Star Trek phaser. You put it on stun, or you can put it on kill. Kill just cranks up the amperage. You know. But it was to say that they are not working on some sorts of technologies, because I would almost bet my life on it, that can zap you with some sort of energy. And a lot of people have talked about this for years. Part of what do they call them? Can't even think of the word. Covert operations by alphabet agencies such as the CIA. It's part of their operation, whatever. They got all these old school operations. MK Ultra being one. It's all about brain manipulation and brainwashing and whatever. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't technology out there already. Now it's being weaponized in some sort of way in a deep, dark lab down a dark, scary hallway underground to be able to be used to sway oncoming hordes who might be angry about some truths that they have been sold, that then they discovered were out and out posthumous lies. They'll be able to read minds. We already found that. We will soon be able to not only read our minds, but we'll be able to read others' minds. They have some new technology where we can direct, connect, mind wearing those skull caps. There's a story this morning I caught in one of my brain alert emails about some new tests that they're doing, playing a video game together, just with their thoughts remotely, which would be pretty cool. I have to say, would sure be pretty cool, but I don't know if I want to let the machine get that close to my inner workings, just knowing what I know from our research and how easy it seems to be to start sucking thoughts out of your head and determining what areas and what processes are going on inside. Scientists have invented a mind-reading machine that visualizes your thoughts. We could take someone's memory and pull it out from their brains. That was a headline from ScienceAlert.com, June 2016. Scientists discover how to implant false memories. That was Big Think. Soon we will be able to read minds and share our thoughts, new scientist. 2017 could be the year when your brains connect without speaking a word. That was Forbes magazine. And we're there, people. Now we have this neurological surveillance section in the 21st Century Cures Act, as well as that other document. I don't remember. There were two names for it, but it was all about tracking with non-invasive means. People with quote-unquote diagnosed mental disorders and dementia and autism and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and bipolar disorder. And, you know, it just goes on and on. And they start adding anything. And as they start now trying to bring down costs in healthcare, moving everything to Dr. Smartphone, selling you to the machine, $29.95, you can get a diagnosis and treatment. Give us your DNA swab and we'll tell you what's wrong. It's 2017 is going to be interesting, guys. I'm afraid for 2017. I'm afraid for what it means to be human. think we should all take some cheek swabs and lock them in a lock-proof box somewhere. Create our own DNA data bank. Another year begins, and another science fiction concept is becoming science fact. Yeah, isn't that what it is? 2017, the year science fiction becomes fact again. 2017 will be the year when brain-to-brain communications between humans takes a big step forward. And if that sounds incredible, well, think again. Considering that it is already happening in studies with rats, mice, and monkeys, poor little monkeys, in a limited way with humans as well. None of the studies have quite accomplished mind reading yet, but they've bridged the chasm between the brain in a way that did not seem possible until just very recently. The most notable non-invasive involving humans so far showed people sitting in different rooms playing a simple computer game together using equipment that enables each person to quote-unquote communicate via brainwaves. It was a basic test of theory, but it worked amazingly, and it demonstrates what is possible as this technology advances, and I'm going to add exponentially. Smaller studies testing brain-computer interfaces provide further proof of concept. Animal studies, of course, have been more invasive using brain implants. Ding, ding, soon to be Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi powered and connected. Instead of using EEG caps, it's that skull cap thing. But the results have been more astounding. One notable study showed that monkey brains connected via implants can work together as a hive, as a unit to control a robotic arm. And similar studies with a rat and a mouse have produced comparable results in the hive mind direction. Can you say the Borg for 2017? All right, guys, make sure you step around. It is Tuesday, lots and lots of live radio. Lonnie Clark live up next, and I will catch up with you tomorrow.